If you want to turn with me to page 1038 of your Bibles, we're going to read something that has been written 2,000 years ago, approximately 2,000 years ago, but is still changing people's lives today. Wherever you go in the world, you'll find this book, even countries where it's been banned. What's really almost quite comical is China, where it was banned to print Bibles because of the communist government's atheistic stance, now prints more Bibles than any other country in the world. And the very Bible you've got in your hand is printed in China. Isn't that amazing? Because there's such demand for it. We're going to read Luke chapter 1037. Sorry, I do beg your pardon. Turn the page back one. And it's a story. It's titled Jesus Restores a Demon-Possessed Man. And it's verse 26, a tiny number 26 there, right at the bottom right-hand corner of page 1037. I'm going to pray, Jesus, open our eyes as we read this, that we might see you. They sailed, that's Jesus and his friends, to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." But Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and been driven by a demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had got into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake that was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. Now, if you are ever suspicious that Christianity is a load of medieval hocus pocus, that passage probably would have confirmed all your fears. Demons, mad pigs, the abyss, don't torture me. What on earth is going on in that little lot? Well, in the West, which is a very small minority of the world's population, we tend not to attribute much to demons. But I have to say that view is the view of a personal evil is very much in the minority. The overwhelming majority of the world's population do believe in personal physical forces of good and evil. What I'm just going to say is to share a passage from here. And just remind you of a line from Hamlet as well, where the genius William Shakespeare has Hamlet say, "There are stranger things in this world than are found in your philosophies, Horatio." I'm just going to encourage you to open your mind and say, well, hang on, maybe the vast majority of the world's population may have something here that the West, in all our modernity and sophistication, is maybe have it just a little bit wrong. Because what the demons represent physically here, but they represent that there are things in your life, things in my life, that are out of your control and out of my control, evil things. You like to think the whole world's in your control until it isn't. Until your children, whether academically, behaviorally, socially, are in trouble in some way at school. But maybe there's a health condition, a bad health condition in your family that you can do nothing about. And you're out of control. Maybe at work, your boss, your employees, maybe it's just a system's bad at work. It's great until it's out of control. Maybe financially, out of control. There are evil things going on in you, in your world, that you are not in control of. And the demons in some way represent that in this story, physically. But you don't have to be full of demons to have evil in the world you're in, evil within you, doing things that are out of control. Maybe even your own experiences, your behaviours, traumatic experiences in the past that you cannot control. And that's what is going on in this story. This man is out of control. The evil that's on him is out of his control. And like him, you and I are not masters of all you survey. And that might bring you to the question like Aidan had, where is God? If this is true, if there are evil things in your life, my life, in society that are out of your control, why doesn't God step in and do something? Why doesn't he act? Why doesn't he make himself visible? I believe God has made himself visible. And God helps in different ways. I'm married to Sally Ann, who led this service, and we both have different ways of helping. One of us, I'm not going to say who, likes to help spontaneously. They just step in and they help. They think that's a sign of just how much I love the other person. They didn't even ask me. I spotted what they needed doing and I just helped. The other person likes to step back on the sidelines and thinks, I'm not going to wade in. I don't just want to step in unbidden and help, because that's quite rude. They might not want my help. I might make them feel like I think they don't know what they're doing. So I'll just wait. And as soon as they ask me, I'll step in, give it my all and help. I'm not going to tell you who does what, but I can tell you there's a little bit of tension when you're both helping each other in those ways, and we've had to work that out. And I believe God helps in both of those ways. And the first thing he does in his story is he acts spontaneously. The man's life is out of control. So Jesus just acts. He can't wait for the man to ask him, because the man's powerless to do that. And the main story is here how Jesus transforms this man's life. And you have spontaneously been helped by God this morning. Aidan's told you his story. Ethan's told you his story. You've been worshipping, you've been here. And God is saying, I'm alive, I'm here. Listen to the stories that are going on. And your role and my role, if we really are keen to find God, is to listen to what God's doing around us. Jesus' greatest spontaneous act, of course, and this story is a sort of preparation for it, is that Jesus died to defeat the greatest evil which all of you and I face, which is death. None of us can control that. That comes to us all. Sorry on such a lovely sunny outside day to remind you of that. But the greater thing is that Jesus died just like they went down into the water and he rose again. He's defeated death. He's beaten it. It can't hold any terror for those who are in Jesus because he's beaten it. He spontaneously did that for you. You didn't have to ask him. He's done it. But the next stage is asking God. So there he acts spontaneously. But the next stage is asking God for his help. So you've heard the stories here. And what's your response? And you see two responses in the story, don't you? You see the man who responds to Jesus and says to Jesus, I'll follow you, please. Let me follow you. You get the owners of the pigs who are afraid and ask Jesus to leave. I don't think this is an anti-pig story, by the way, or an anti-owner of the pigs. I just think that's what happened there. If you want to talk to me more about pigs and abyss and all that type of thing, I'm happy to chat afterwards. But the main thing is the man's life is transformed. And he asked Jesus to change his life. And this story, as well as acting as a sort of forerunner of Jesus dying and rising again and defeating evil, it's also a forerunner of Jesus coming again. Jesus says, I'm going to come again. And that day, everyone will see me. And you won't be asking me to leave because I'll be coming back to the earth, which is mine. And you can respond in two ways. You can welcome Jesus, like the man there, or just as the people who asked Jesus to leave, you'll be afraid of Jesus and cast out by him. Jesus will confirm the choice. He'll be holding the whole of humanity to account. He'll be saying, okay, this is the choice you made in life. You welcome me. I'm welcoming you. You're my friend. This is a choice you made in life. You chose to reject me. Okay, I'm rejecting you. I'm confirming your choice. I'm encouraging you to listen to Jesus, to get on his side, to be his friend. That's what he's wanting to do. Now, the other thing I want to encourage you to do is, if you already know Jesus, can you see how special your story is? Jesus asked the man, it's quite funny, the man asked Jesus, he says, can I follow you? And Jesus said, no, stay here. Go and tell of how much God has done for you. Now, who do you buy a car off of? Who do you get to do work in your house? If you go to a restaurant, how do you find out? But you ask people you know, don't you? I've got a friend and they're in a rugby club, and every bit of work that ever was done in their house, every event they ever went to, it's always a rugby club. Friends in a rugby club. Why? Because they knew and trusted them. Who do you go to for advice? People you love and trust. Jesus knew that the people were afraid of him. If he just appeared and went boom, and you might be thinking, if only Jesus could appear in my friend's life and go boom, they'd all believe. But actually, they might be afraid. They might be overpowered. And Jesus knows that. And he wants this man to go back and tell his story because they know him. They trust him. They can see the difference. Your story, telling what God has done for you, can be even better than if Jesus appeared into him. Isn't that amazing? The way that your friends are going to find out that Jesus is alive is you to tell them how much God has done for them. Just in the way Ethan could be really short like Ethan's. But wasn't that a powerful story? It can be really long like Aidan. And wasn't that a powerful story? It can be a supernatural story. Ethan just closed his eyes and that really, he saw God. That was the moment he believed in God. But Aidan, it was a long process. And both those stories are wonderful. So tell your story. I was just out jogging with a friend the other day. And we were chatting. He says, what have you been up to? And he was telling me what he'd been doing. And I told him, oh, my son's been 18 now, his 18th birthday. And do you know what the most amazing thing was? As I look back at his life, I could just see God's hand at work in his life. His friend doesn't know God. He's always interested if I'm chatting about things. And I said, at times, just like in Aidan's story, it seemed like you wonder what God is doing. But then actually, over 18 years, we can really see how God's steered and helped. And that's all I said, not much more than that. Just tell your story. Tell how much God has done for you. And that is going to help some people better than if Jesus appeared himself. Isn't that amazing? Because Jesus wants to appear through you. So, you've heard some wonderful stories of what God's done. God's been acting spontaneously today. And now, it's your turn to respond. How are you going to respond to God? How are you going to... He's waiting for you to ask him for the next step. How do you want him to help you? Let me pray. Jesus, thank you. Sometimes you help spontaneously. Sometimes you wait for us to ask. The greatest thing you ever did was to die and rise again on the cross. And now you want us to respond to that. You're waiting for us to ask for your help. And I pray for anybody here who's thinking, I'd like to know a bit more about what's going on here. I pray they find you. And I pray for those who already know you. I pray you'd really encourage us to tell the stories, to us to tell how much God has done for us. It can be short, can be long. Just what you've done for us. Amen.